In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. It's so great to be here with you today as we celebrate the feast day of the Holy Guardian Angels. Boy, I tell you, what a special feast this is today. All of us have had some experience with our guardian angels. I know that the first time that I was exposed to the idea of guardian angels was with my mother. I remember her, and I've talked about this before, learning my prayers. I remember this. I was a kid. I forget how old I was, but I remember her kneeling down, me and my brothers and my sister, I remember, was still a baby at the time. And she would stand behind us, and she would say, "Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory be to the Father," and the guardian angel prayer, you know, and then we would repeat after her, you know, and that's the way that we learned. That's the way that we learned our prayers. And it was always the same prayers every night. Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory be to the Father, Angel of God. And so all of those prayers have a special resonance in my heart because I could still hear my mother's voice, you know. And she's long deceased now, but it's a beautiful memory from childhood. You know, my mother, who was the first Catholic in our family, teaching us our prayers, you know, and so when I pray the rosary, which is, you know, Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory be the Father, are part of that, you know, and I think that's why I think I have such a strong affinity and a strong desire to pray the rosary and to be close to the Blessed Mother, was because of my mother actually helping to lead me closer to Jesus, just like the Blessed Mother does. And again, at the tail end of those prayers was the guardian angel prayer. And so all of us have guardian angels, every single one of us. We don't know, of course, we don't know their names or anything like that, nor should we try to give them names. Why? Because they already have names. God has already designated them to have names. We just don't know what those names are. So just trust that we do have guardian angels that help to guide us and protect us. You know, just be aware of that, and to call on the guardian angels for help, especially during times of temptation or struggle. You know, it's always good to call for the help and the assistance of our guardian angels by saying the guardian angel prayer. You know, and we'll repeat this prayer at the end of the show as well. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side to light, to guard, to rule, and guide. And for me, in my personal prayer, I say that guardian angel prayer twice a day. I pray the entire office, Liturgy of the Hours, but during Lauds and Vespers, at the end of those offices, I do my personal prayers, and that always includes the Angel of God prayer. And I only change it so when I pray in the morning, I say, "Ever this day be at my side," and when I pray in the evening, I say, "Ever this night be at my side." You know, so I got the whole day covered, you know, with the guardian angels. And so that's what we're talking about today on this feast of the Holy Guardian Angels, and would love to hear from you today. Send us an email, my friends, beacon@ewtn.com. And you know, all of us have guardian angels, including the people who help bring you this show together every day. I'm talking about Matt Gabinski, who screens your calls, Michael McCall, or Pedro Quiles, who helps us out on social media, and of course our producer. What we do without him, the one and only Ace McKay. Ace, how goes it, my friend?
It goes good. I don't know if you've seen or the trends this week on classic rock albums that have the most skipped songs. Would you be willing to guess some of the tracks, like maybe on like your favorite?
Oh, that has the most. So you're saying like when you're playing the record, it's like, oh, not this song. You skip to another song that you like?
Yeah.
Ah, interesting. And these are for classic rock
Yeah,
albums.
so bands like AC/DC, The Beatles, Aerosmith, in that
Yeah.
classic rock. So, like, as a
Yeah.
Queen fan, is there a song that you skip over?
Oh, that's a great question. Wow. Not many. For example, Night at the Opera, the only song that I may skip, and this is probably every other time I listen to that album, is 39. Which Brian May actually wanted released as a single. It didn't happen. I don't think the band could agree. So it was never released as a single, but they played it in concert for sure. In fact, they would do an a cappella an instrumental version of it without, so they just like Roger like on the drums and like a kick and a snare, and John Deacon might be playing an upright bass or something like that. So do like an acoustic, that's what I said, acoustic, an acoustic version of that song, which they did live on a couple of different tours. So but that would be the only one. There are a few other ones like Queen 2, probably, depending what mood I'm in. Most of this, I the to me, in my mind, Queen, like Queen starts with the second side, with Ogre Battle, all the way through to The Game, and that era. To me, that's like the sweet spot, the classical Queen era. And so probably the most of the first side of Queen 2, I would, well, yeah, I'd probably skip, again, depending what mood I'm in, I'd probably skip most of it and just get right to the second side. But yeah,
Yeah,
how about for you?
the surprise for me was that anybody would skip a song on Led Zeppelin 4. I'm just going to say, because to me, that
Yeah.
whole collection, and same way with like Rubber Soul from the Beatles, because that's my favorite Beatles album. Like, to me, that collection of songs, like, you can't it like, to me, that is one long song. It's just, they all weave together in the tapestry of it, and Queen obviously being one of those bands. So that's why I wanted to ask if there was, songs that you were willing to skip on certain days. Because there are certain albums that I will not like. It's like, if I'm gonna, like, even if a song from those albums comes up, I can't listen to it out of context. So either I go to that album and listen to the whole thing, which to me, I also kind of equate that with when we read scripture. How many times do we read just the scripture, but not the verse before or after it, so that we get full context?
Excellent, excellent point. You're exactly right, because that's a good point, because there's some songs that I listened to Queen that were never released as singles, that no one really would probably even heard of these songs, but they only sound right to me when I hear them within the context of the album. And you're right, same thing is true of scripture. Certain verses, only if you take it out of context, then it loses actually what it was actually supposed to mean. And what you and so when you just take one verse without reading what comes before, what comes after, even what the chapter is about, even what the book that the scripture is in is about, you lose something of the context of what that scripture is actually saying. Because we have two senses of scripture. We have what's the literal historical sense, which is, the techniques that the author used when writing. So is he writing history? Is he writing poetry? Is he writing commentary, or is he writing history? And that's the one piece. But the other piece is the spiritual side. What is God trying to say in this text? So you have to look at both and, not either or. But you're right. If you just skip around verses or take it out of context, you miss the meaning of what the verse is actually trying to say.
Yeah, and that's why I love, the more you read God's word, how creatively it is written. Like, to think about it, and I think we may have talked about this on other shows, but it always bears repeating when we're talking about the art of how God chose to emote the emotion that he knows that we're feeling when we're facing things, or just the tapestry of words that we need so that when we are memorizing verses and trying to apply them to a situation or to our lives or teach them to our kids, that there's that deeper connection, because we emotionally connect to it, because it shows not only that he understands how we feel, but then when we feel it, we know which verses to apply to our lives.
Yes, exactly. I love that. And another point along those same lines is that when you hear some of these songs that you're talking about, whether it's Beatles or Queen or Zepp or whatever group it is, when you listen to the song, it has a certain resonance, right? It has a certain meaning when you listen to that particular song. And same thing with the scriptures. There are certain scriptures that just resonate with you, just like you identify with it. Say, yes, this song is speaking to the story of my life, is speaking to an aspect of my heart, and the scriptures do that in a very beautiful way as well.
Amen.
That's awesome. All right, my friends, today we are talking about the holy guardian angels on their feast day today. And we all have a special relationship with our guardian angels who protect us and guide us in our conscience. And so we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Yeah.
A crisp snare. Give it to me.
Woo! Ha. Yeah. Very nice. I love that snare sound.
Yeah. As a former marching band guy, I always like when drummers take marching snares and put them with their kits, because it's just such a crispness you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, because that usually, like, you got snare and hi-hat on 2 and 4, but here it's like dun, 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 two.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, like the and four. I love that. Syncopation there. Very nice. If that was faster, that'd definitely have a hip hop kind of feel.
Sure.
Yeah.
I actually saw
a nice riff too.
I saw on social media this morning someone, this is when you know your musician friends. They just posted 6'8" is dumb, and I was like, I can identify with that. So if you're not a musician, go Google that. You'll get the joke.
Yeah. I like that 6'8" is dumb. Oh man, I wonder if they have a hard time with Dream Theater. I mean, they have songs like in 17,
Oh
you know,
gosh,
8 or something
yeah.
like that. Some weird, I crazy, crazy stuff. But that's what those prog guys, they're all over the place
Yep.
with their time signature. So that, but in a sense, that kind of makes the song interesting. But at the same time, you're like scratch your head at the same time. So
those are the songs I just listen to. I don't try to emulate. It's like, man, good for you. You
that's
play
it.
that so well.
Exactly. But the challenge I like to have is just trying to count songs like that. Like 1, 2, 3, 4. I was listening to Dream Theater the other day. They had a song and it was the 9/8, and then it would switch back to 7/8. So I was like, wait, what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But nine, and there was a snare on the nine to pop, and then boom, back into the. So I was like, wow, this is interesting, So. Good stuff.
Late
Good
nights.
stuff. Yeah, so true. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're celebrating the feast day of the Holy Guardian Angels. We're going to talk all about the Guardian Angels today on Beacon of Truth. And of course, we would love to hear from you today. Send us an email, my friends, beacon@ewtn.com.
Well, as you get free ebooks are available anytime at ewtn.com, but one that you might want to focus on this week is Behold the Beauty of Our Faith from Mary Major. This gives us some great insights and photography of what's been happening with the Vatican Bureau in Rome, and of course, they've assembled it all together. So if you want to check it out, it is easy and free to find, ewtn.com/ST. Mary Major, and get Behold the Beauty of Our Faith with EWTN.
All right, my friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, if we take one of the Psalms from the Book of Sung Praises from the Wisdom Literature of the Old Testament. The Ketuvim. So we have the Torah, the books of the law. Then we have the prophets, the Nebaim, and then we have the writings, the Ketuvim, which include the wisdom literature books, Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and those books. And what's beautiful about this segment is that we hear the Psalms in every holy sacrifice of the Mass. So we take the Psalms that we hear in Mass and we connect them to your everyday lived experience. And I am using the Revised Grail Psalms. This is a translation of the Psalms that was approved for liturgical use in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And as we continue to move forward, you will hear this psalm, these psalms, this version of the psalms being incorporated more and more into the psalms at Mass. And so sometimes people ask me where I got this. I just got it on Amazon. It's called the Revised Grail Psalms, a liturgical psalter, and it's prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And today we're going to continue our look at Psalm 49. In fact, we're going to try and finish up Psalm 49. So Psalm 49 is in book two of the Psalms. So Psalms 42 to 72 make up book two. And within that book, Psalms 42 to 49 are by the sons of Korah. Psalm 50 is by Asaph. And then Psalms 51 to 72 are by David. So Psalm 49, therefore, is one of the Psalms of the sons of Korah. And we're going to pick up at verse 19, but verse 1, which is the superscript or prescript of this psalm, is the entire first verse. It says, Lemenzeach livni Korah mizmor. For the choir master of the sons of Korah, a psalm. And again, we know that the Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron in Numbers chapter 16. It says, the ground opened. And Korah and his family went down alive to Sheol. The followers of Korah were swallowed up by fire from heaven. And the only ones who survived were the sons of Korah, Numbers chapter 26, verse 11. And they not only became superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple, they also became caretakers and custodians of the sacred vessels and vestments that were used in the worship of God. And in Hebrew, Korah means baldness, right? So, and I love the way this psalm started off. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all who dwell in the world, people both high and low, rich and poor alike. So, Korah's like, okay, everybody, I don't care who you are, listen up. That's basically what he's saying there in the start of the psalm. So let's go to the last few verses here that will help us finish off our reflections on this psalm. Verse 19. And here is tremendous wisdom in this part of the psalm, because I love this psalm because this is talking about the fallaciousness of riches, you know, which is in a sense kind of an extension of Ecclesiastes with Koheleth, which means assembler. So Koheleth obviously would be Solomon. Who wrote Ecclesiastes, and he talks and he starts off that the book of Ecclesiastes talking about the riches and how it's like it's like the wind, you know, that just kind of blows and then it's gone. You know, we things the things of the earth that we dwell on. And so the sons of Korah kind of pick up on that theme. So to give this some context, it says right before verse 19, then do not fear when a man grows rich, when the glory of his house increases. He takes nothing with him when he dies. His glory does not follow him below. Right? I love that. And so, you know, why? Because sometimes in this world, we look at people that have money, power, influence. We look at people who are famous. We look at people who are adulated and held in high esteem from a cultural perspective, but their lives could be also a train wreck at the same time. You know, as far as spirits, there's no connection with God, no connection with faith. They're just living for the pleasures of this world. And sometimes we get envious, especially when we're working hard, you know, we're being faithful to God. You know, and we don't, you know, and we have to struggle financially. You know, we have to struggle with certain things in life that other people don't seem to have an issue with. And not only the Psalms, but in many other readings of scripture, it says, don't worry about that. You know, just worry about being faithful to God. Because remember, our reward will be great in heaven. The riches on earth are nothing, nothing compared to the riches and the rewards that we will experience in heaven. Remember, Jesus says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it so much as dawned on man what is waiting for us in heaven, you know, what God has in store for us in the heavenly kingdom. You know, so that's important. So verse 19, I love this. Though he flattered himself while he lived. Now, Korah now is speaking in the voice of the person, the culture. People will praise me for all my success. And he says, yet he will go to join his forebearers. Actually, in Hebrew, it says his fathers, which means the same thing, forebearers, and will never see the light anymore. Wow. So people, I love that because it's so real. It is so human. It gets to the heart of the jealousy that we feel sometimes. Though he flattered himself while he lived, people will praise me for all my success. Look at my house. Look at my money. Look at all the material wealth. And look at all the happiness that it's bringing me. But that happiness is fleeting. Right? The happiness is an illusion because that happiness doesn't bring joy. Right? Because you can have all the wealth and still feel empty and still feel like there's something missing in my life. Still feel like, I have all this stuff, but what is missing? And then we try to turn to new age or to gurus or to all these different things. But that the reason why we feel that emptiness, that space, that void, is that that is a place in our hearts that only God can fill. So that's a reminder. Yes, even though we have all these things, yeah, people will praise me. We will ultimately, in the end, we will never see the light anymore. And that should fill us with some trepidation and help us to focus on the things in life that are truly important.
Yeah, and trying to chase after things that make us happy, that's a moment. That's a moment-to-moment chasing, which what you're talking about when we're pursuing the world or we see what someone else has, and so we try to gain or gun for that because we think that's what is success. But really, it's in the joyous moments when you really feel like you have nothing but God and you still have that overwhelming sense of fulfillment, that that's the place where God wants us to live. Because then if any success at all, whatever he chooses to give us is only sprinkles on top of the fact that you already found a place of joy, that you don't need all that stuff. You just need him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I could understand that sentiment of some people though. Obviously, my heart is for God, and many of us that are listening or watching right now, yeah, is the same sentiment. But sometimes when I look around my office, for example, I see like thousands of books, and I have literally no place to put them. I have amazing paintings and artwork and gifts that I've received literally from all over the world, and they're in boxes because or they're in storage bins because I have no place to put them. And sometimes I think, man, I wish I had some money so I can buy an office, you know, not lease, but buy a place, and so I can own it and just have just as much room as I need to be able to expand. And, you know, it make my work actually more efficient and easier, yeah, because now I have to literally dig through all these books stacked up just to find the book that I'm looking for. If I'm doing research or writing a book or an article or something like that, it's just a pain.
Yeah.
You know, so I can understand that, but that doesn't diminish my heart for God.
Amen.
You know, I love that. And the last, it says, in his riches, man cannot discern. He is like the beasts that are destroyed. Yeah, but we have confidence because we have the holy guardian angels to protect us. That's what we're talking about today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Awesome riff.
A little distortion goes a long way.
Yep. You know, I've been messing around with my pedal board a little bit. And, because I got this amp and I'm trying to make adjustments. I'm not used to this amp. It's a newer amp. And so I'm just playing around with the settings and stuff like that, and I can't seem to get the right distortion sound. You know, I have a heavy, I have a bunch of pedals in my pedal board, but I have a heavy metal, a Boss heavy metal pedal, and I have a distortion pedal.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously sometimes you want to play, so you don't want to have a metal feel, like a Metallica kind of feel, or you know, Mastodon or something like that. You just want more like a rock kind of a feel. So that's why I have the both pedals. But I just can't seem to find the right tone for the distortion. So I'm still messing around with that. It doesn't sound to my ear like what I wanted to sound like, what I envision it.
Is it the
amp?
I'm
still
maybe?
Working on that. I'm sure it's the amp. Yeah. I just have, there's so many knobs and so many settings on it. It's just like, you know, and with my my schedule and all the things that I'm working on, I just wish I had more time to mess around with it. So I just play around with it only when I have some time, you know. So
I feel that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure you have that with the drums too. Suddenly you get a new tom or something like that.
And what's worse about drums is that it's not so much of the tuning of the heads as it's a positioning, so they're not knocking into each other or into something else. Because a lot of times you can get like a weird ping coming from somewhere and it's not the head at all, and you're cranking and cranking. And really it's because the floor tom was too close, you know, to the mounted tom, or, you know, the cymbal is hanging in just a way that the tone is hitting it and then causing a little bit of an after effect. And so you're like repositioning. So it's really like rearranging your living room furniture just to get the drums where you need them, so they accent whatever you've done to the head. So there's a lot of things. It goes beyond knobs.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, love that. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're celebrating the feast day of the Holy Guardian Angels, the divinely given angels who protect us and help us on our journey of life. And we'd love to hear from you today. Send us an email, my friends, beacon@ewtn.com.
Well, we love praying the rosary, and we love praying it together. Here we have been for over 30 years now, so whether it's with Mother Angelica or Father Benedict Groeschel, we do that with you a couple of times a day. Every morning, 5:30 a.m. Eastern, and then in the evening at 9:30, so as you're winding down wherever you are time zone-wise, find it and, of course, learn how to pray it. That way you can pray it anytime, but praying it together is also quite a gift. So, again, we love to do this with you on a regular basis. Twice a day, it's the Rosary with EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends, we're talking about the Holy Guardian Angels today on Beacon of Truth. Of course, we would love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. And so let's talk a little bit about a little bit of the background of the Holy Guardian Angels. So why do we need them, for example? Like what is the deal with guardian angels? All right. So if we go, for example, to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, we see there that we see kind of the beginnings of the origins of Satan and his dominion of the earth. Right. So what do I mean by that? So if you go to Revelation chapter 19, you know, we know that let's talk about Satan for a second. So Satan, his name was Lucifer. And Lucifer means light bearer. So when angels are created, they're created with what's called infused knowledge, right? And so was Adam and Eve, by the way. So they were created with the knowledge that everything they're supposed to know, they know at the moment of their creation. And they can make a decision, yes or no, for God. So Lucifer, it doesn't say this in the scripture, but Lucifer, the name light bearer to me it sounds like he's probably a cherubim or a seraphim. Those are the, because we know there's nine orders of angels, right? There's angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, and virtues, right? So those are the nine different levels of angels. And so the ones who serve closest to the throne of God are the cherubim and the seraphim. And it sounds like to me, given Lucifer's name, that he was an angel that served closest to God. So he was even above the guardian angels or even the archangels, right? So what happened? So as I mentioned, angels, when they're created, are created with infused knowledge. So everything they know at the moment of their creation. It's then that they can say yes or no to God, right? Because they also are created with free will. Just like Adam and Eve. Remember in the garden, it says he says to Adam, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden, because we have free will. Because in order to establish a relationship of covenant love and intimacy, you have to be free, right? The four tenets of covenant relationship are free, faithful, total, and fruitful. And the first one is free. Why? If it's not free, then it's not love. Right? I mean, you can't force anybody to love you. That's not love, right? That's use. That's abuse. That's not love. So love that's freely given has to be freely reciprocated, or else it's not really love, right? And so angels are created with that same idea that they can say yes freely, say yes or no to God. So Lucifer, when he's created, knows that, first of all, that God will become incarnate in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So he's saying to himself, wait a minute, why are you the God and creator of everything that exists and everything that will ever exist? Why are you condescending? Why are you coming down to the level of these created, of these creatures you created that have feelings and emotions, that we're greater than them, and yet you're going down to their level to save them? Why would you do that? You know, and then he said, if that wasn't bad enough, then you're going to send us to be guardians for them, and you're going to use us to be messengers for them. They should be honoring giving praise to us, not us to them. You know, and then he says, non serviam, right? I will not serve. Right. So Satan said no to the Lord. And there were other angels who followed along with what Lucifer did. Right. And so we see in the book of Revelation 19, it said there was a battle in heaven. Let's see if I can find it here. There was a battle in heaven, and Michael, leading the archangels, fought against Satan, they were cast out of heaven. You know, and it says, where did they go after they were cast out? They went down to earth. And guess what? They're still here, right? They're still here. And of course, we see that in the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve, and then who they run into, the first person they run in is Satan in the form of a serpent, Nahash in Hebrew, which actually means monster. You know, it's the same root of the word that they use for Leviathan. So like in the visions of Ezekiel, he talks about Leviathan. It's the same word, the same says Nahash. Means a monster. So it's not like a little garden snake that you see in a lot of medieval artwork that, you know, that's tempting Adam and Eve, you know, and they're holding an apple, and it probably was not an apple. Probably it was most likely either a fig or a pomegranate. That was the quote unquote fruit of the tree. But he was a monster, you know. Remember, it says after part of the punishment for Satan in Genesis 3:15, Genesis 3:14, it says on your belly you will crawl, you will eat dirt, which means that he probably had legs, probably more like a dragon, more than that. You know, this shows the the evil of the devil. What does he do? The first thing he does is try to take us out of relationship with God. He tries to tempt us out of covenant relationship with God, tries to destroy divine intimacy with the Lord. And so in order to fight against the forces of the devil, God has given us guardian angels to help us in our fight against sin and temptation. I know when I'm in times of temptation, like for example, just being honest, I lost all this weight, and I'm not going back. Right? I'm very happy where I am right now. Trust me. But sometimes I'm tempted to eat things like if I'm stressed, because that was the pattern before, stress eating. If I'm stressed or worried about something, I would, try to quell that feeling with food. And I don't do that now, but I'm a human being. I could be tempted, so those times of temptation, I call upon my guardian angel to help. I call upon my guardian angel for assistance. I ask for his prayers and his intercession to help me fight against the temptation for gluttony, right? Or for, following into a destructive pattern that I was in before. So guardian angels are there to help us and to assist us. But yeah, I'm not sorry, I'm not Revelation 19. I'm thinking of blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Revelation 12. Revelation 12, not Revelation 19. So Revelation 12, we all know that Revelation 12 1 says a great portent was opened in heaven, and the woman with the clothed in the sun, the moon under her feet, with a crown of 12 stars around her head. That's the Blessed Virgin Mary. We all know that. But later on in that same chapter, chapter 12, not chapter 19, chapter 12, it says that if you go to verse 7, so after Lucifer made the decision to say no to God, it says in verse 7, Revelation 12, 7, now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels, right, most likely the other archangels, fighting against the dragon. So even here, while Satan is still in heaven, that same word Nahash is used. Well, this is the Greek, but in the Hebrew, that same word Nahash, the monster, dragon, right? And the dragon and his angels fought, right, against Michael and the archangels because of their no, after he said no to God. Because why? Book of Revelation also says nothing unclean, not even the desire for sin could exist in heaven. And so it says, but they were defeated. So the dragon and his angels, Lucifer and the demons, they were defeated, and were no, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And then it says, and the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent, who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And they're still here. They're still here. And their job, again, is to destroy covenant relationship with God. So God has given us protection in the guardian angels. So God's angels are messengers that carry out his will, which includes the protection of us, the protection of people. In the Old Testament, the evidence of protecting of angel protectors is fairly frequent. For example, an angel led Lot to safety before the destruction of Sodom. All right? And during the Exodus, an angel is appointed as leader of the Israelites, and God tells Moses, "My angel will go before you." Remember when they're leaving Egypt and they're heading toward the Red Sea? An angel was there. Well, God was also present with them, in the pillar of cloud during the day, and a column of fire at night. But there was also an angel that was appointed kind of the leader, helping to lead Moses and the Israelites to the promised land. And so the angel went before them, and there's also the wonderful story of an angel who took protective care of Tobias when he went in search of a bride and for medicine to heal his blind father, right? And so very good evidence of angels sent by God, so divine assistance, divine help in order to help humanity. So angels are entrusted with a special care and solicitude for humanity, whose requests and prayers they present to God. So, there's a beautiful hymn that we used to sing in the monastery. It's actually part of Psalm 140, 141, I believe. It says, let our prayers rise before you like incense, the raising of our hands like an evening oblation. And even in Eucharistic prayer number one, or the Roman canon, right, it says, may your angels take this sacrifice to your altar in heaven, so that as we receive from this altar the sacred body and blood of your Son, that we may be filled with every grace and blessing. That's what the priest says during the Roman canon in Eucharistic prayer number one. Remember, that's the part that after the consecration where he bows slightly, he bows and he says those words, that your angel may take this sacrifice to your altar in heaven. So again, angels act as intermediaries between us and God. You know, part of what they do is they help present our prayers and requests to God. Yeah, I love that. With their whole being, the angels are servants and messengers of God, because they always behold the face of the Father who is in heaven, and they are the mighty ones who do his word, right? So they do God's will perfectly, and they have free will, and they're freely, you know, doing the will of God. And so there's no pride there, you know. So the angels, who are obviously superior to us, who don't have physical bodies, but sometimes God will allow them to be seen and manifest themselves with a physical body, like the angels that were with Abraham when Abraham brought them into the tent and gave them food. You know, the angels that fight with Jacob, right? And his name was changed to Israel, which means Israel literally means to wrestle with God, right? And so the angels that we mentioned before with Lot and with Tobias, you know, sometimes they manifest themselves in physical bodies so that they can relate the message to us, like also in the incarnation, right? The angel Gabriel revealed himself to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and obviously she saw him, right? It doesn't have a description of what he looked like, but obviously Mary was able to talk to him and interact with him. So there was some kind of physicalness there, and obviously he took the form of a male. You know, the angel took the form of a man, because it's a he, right? Gabriel. And so so sometimes they're given bodies in order to articulate the message that God wants us to know, you know. But most of the time, like with our guardian angels, they don't have physical bodies, and we never see them. Now, sometimes I think Padre Pio was one of the saints that were able to see his guardian angel, but that for most of us, we will never see the guardian angel. And again, we're not to give them names. We know we have them, but God has already given them names. They already have names, but we just don't know what those names are. So we shouldn't be naming guardian angels. Also, it says in Psalm 91, it says, for you has he commanded his angels to keep you in all your paths. Yet another scriptural verse that talks about the idea of guardian angels protecting us along our path, along our journey, along our pilgrimage in this life. And the psalm continues, they will bear you upon their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Right? And beautiful, beautiful verse there. That's Psalm 91, verse 11, that talks about the role of angels as guardians for humanity. And very interesting, in the temptation of Christ in the desert by Satan, you know, one of the things he says, he quotes this very verse from Psalm 91 to Jesus. You know, remember, he takes him to the top of the temple, the parapet of the temple. Throw yourself down from here. Because remember, he's trying to test Jesus to see if he is God, if this is the one that's supposed to be the savior of the world, the savior of humanity. So he takes him to the parapet of the temple and says, throw yourself down from here. You know, and he quotes Psalm 91, because remember, it says, for he has commanded his angels to keep you in your ways, and so they shall bear you upon their hands. The angels will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. In other words, they will protect you from harm. So Satan wants to see if if Jesus throws himself down, will the angels protect him? Because then he goes, ah, then I know that this is the one that was sent to be the Messiah. And Jesus just turns to him and to the devil and says, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord your God. So he puts Satan in his place, right? And all the way even up until and Mel Gibson depicted this in The Passion of the Christ, where Satan is in the Garden of Gethsemane, with Jesus. And you have the image there of Satan, and then you see the snake that comes out and Jesus crushes the snake with his heel in fulfillment of Book of Genesis 3:15. The Proto-Evangelium, he will crush your head, and so Jesus does that there. But again, you see the temptation there, you see the Satan there, you see the devil there trying to test Jesus. Is this the one? Can he really, take this incredibly heavy burden that the Lord is asking him to do, to die for the sins of the entire world? And what does it say also there in the Gospels about the Garden of Gethsemane, that when he was praying to God to take the cup away from him, but not my will, your will, that the angels were there to strengthen him, right? So the Father sent angels to strengthen Jesus, right? And the same thing is true for us in the form of the guardian angels. That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. We're celebrating the feast day of the guardian angels. And would love to hear from you. Send us an email today, my friends, beacon@ewtn.com. In the book of Daniel, angels are entrusted to take care of entire sectors of the people of Israel. So it is clear that the Old Testament understood God's angels as messengers that carry out his will, including the protection of people. And again, we see that in the New Testament. Angels are frequently the links between God and his people. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, Jesus says in the gospel. For I tell you, their angels in heaven always behold the face of my heavenly Father. Right? So he's talking about the protection of the little ones. He's talking about children here, or those who have little faith, those who are still trying to understand who Jesus is, those who are coming to faith. We got to be very careful. We don't want to destroy anybody's faith. We want to make sure that the way that we're projecting the faith is in a way that's helping bring people into deeper relationship with Jesus. But even those people have angels that are protecting them, and so that's something we need to be very cognizant of. As I mentioned, an angel consoled Jesus during his agony in the garden. It was an angel, remember, that delivered, in Acts of the Apostles, delivered Peter from prison. And in the letter to the Hebrews, it says, I think it's verse, no, I know, I'm not exactly sure what verse it is, but I know it's in the Catechism. Quotes also this verse from the book of Hebrews. It says, regarding the angels, the guardian angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Right? So the writer to the Hebrews is very clear here that ministering spirits or angels are sent to serve at the will of God for those who are to inherit salvation, which is all of us. From the beginning of our lives until death, we are surrounded by angels watching under the guardian angels' watchful care and intercession. Beside each believer stands an angel as protector and shepherd, leading us to life. That's from the Catechism. I believe that's paragraph 336 of the Catechism. So beautiful. So the angels are here at our side. They're with us. They're here to protect and to serve us. They are our companions, our light, our strength, and protection along our spiritual journey, because we all need help. Because we must become like children, that means have childlike faith and trust in God's love and mercy, we can count on these faithful servants of our Lord Jesus Christ to help us on our way to heaven. So it is on this spiritual path toward loving and life-giving community with God that we are to fulfill with the union with the help of our angels, the mission and our service of Christ and his church. All right. Beautiful way to end the show. And remember, say the guardian angel prayer tonight before you go to bed. Now, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting PodcastCentral at ew10.com/radio. You can also get the Soulful Psalms and the Beacon of Truth playlist there as well. And until we are together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.